is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. An entire summer's worth of rain fell in a matter of a few hours in New York yesterday, and the same system moved over New England with flood alerts in effect through tomorrow. WBZ-TV's Mike Sullivan reports from Williamsburg, Massachusetts.
Williamsburg Fire Captain Rory McGill and his crew rescued two people from a home.
We have half a dozen, I think seven houses that are either on the other side of the river or just this side, but the river had actually jumped its bank and went around a few of the houses, pinching them off from the road.
Raging rivers give waterfront property in Williamsburg a bit too close of a view, the current finding its way into their homes.
One woman died while trying to evacuate her home in New York's Hudson Valley. Murder suspect Michael Burham escaped from a jail in Warren County, Pennsylvania late Thursday night and is still on the run. WIVB-TV's Patrick Ryan has more.
We spotted a convoy of Pennsylvania State Police and Border Patrol agents combing through Warren's heavily wooded hills. State police believe Burham is likely still in the area. They say a stockpile of supplies believed to be Burham's was discovered, but would not reveal where that stockpile was found. State police say they consider him to be armed and dangerous, adding that he's most likely changed out of the orange and white jumpsuit he was last seen in.
Might want to check your Powerball ticket. Tonight's jackpot has grown to $675 million, with the lump sum payment topping $340 million before taxes. The winning numbers are 34, 58, 24, 2, 53, and the Powerball is 13. A message from Madonna after a health scare, the latest from CBS's Matt Piper.
Her North American tour was set to begin next week. Now the songstress says it'll be rescheduled, with the European leg now beginning in October. On her social media platforms, the 64-year-old says her first thought when she woke up in the hospital was her children. The words come about 2 weeks after she was in intensive care at a New York City hospital after developing a serious bacterial infection. She had reportedly been found unresponsive. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Serving a 60-year sentence for sexually abusing female gymnast, former Dr. Larry Nassar was found stabbed in the Sumterville, Florida federal prison. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez is in Florida.
Bureau of Prisons has put out a statement where they don't name him necessarily, but they do reference this attack. They say that it happened at 2:35 p.m. Sunday, that he then received life-saving care from the staff, that no other staff or inmates were injured.
Northwestern University has fired football coach Pat Fitzgerald amid a hazing scandal. According to multiple reports, defensive coordinator David Braun is expected to step in as a liaison managing the team before an interim coach is named. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
For specific shows and hosts.
Flatbread, unless there's goat cheese on it. Pine nuts.
Wow, someone went to private school.
They knocked down the original building, which was just a building, and then they built an actual castle, and it is gorgeous. Every time a friend of mine from out of town comes, I take him there because I'm that much of a podunk hick.
Magic people, voodoo people. Ooh, I like this one.
This is the Prodigy.
The Prodigy. Okay, yep. Jane, what do you how do you rate this one?
Oh, I'm having a ball.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Have you thought much about how you personally are going to deal with the onslaught of AI in the next election? 844-967-2789. You know, in the same way in 2008, all of a sudden there was social media and Facebook and things to deal with in the that election. The 2024 presidential race is going to be the AI election. And there's very little evidence so far that there's going to be any regulation ahead of time, whether that's through laws and the government or self-regulation from any of the tech companies. And so it feels like it's just going to be on our shoulders to start to like figure out what is true, what is not true. And I'm just curious if you've thought about this and how you even deal with it today with misinformation when you are trying to get the news. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this very smoky Tuesday. Holy moly, Greg Bach. Can you breathe when you're outside right now, or is it a little hard?
Well, we're coming from outside. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, this is weird.
It is weird, right?
It's because it's not like it's misty. It's you feel like you're walking through something.
Yeah, like walking out into the yard today to walk the dog. I was like, well, it smells like a campfire, and it is hazy. So make sure you are checking the air advisories in your location, and maybe spend less time outside if you don't have to be outside, because I don't think this is good for anyone, let alone if you have any health conditions or asthma or the like. But Greg, what do you think? How do you think you're going to deal with all the AI disinformation that's coming down the pipe?
I just have this idea that if you're honest enough to tell me it's made with AI, I'm gonna be like, well, I don't believe it to begin with. Like, I don't know. I won't trust it. And it's not the robots are taking over, or as you know, Mr. Rogers says, the robots. It's such a technology in its mass infancy. it's to the masses in its infancy, that before it could ever become trusted or something that's not almost laughable in its design, you're going to be like, it's going to be a few years before I'm like, all right, I'll trust you. I want to hear it from a
But isn't person. The point that you won't be able to recognize it as AI?
Well, yes, but nowadays no one will shut up about how much it's AI. They're like, oh, we made this commercial with AI. I'm like, yeah, that is a political commercial. That's scary. You know what I mean? Like, no one's, at this point, I haven't come across anyone digging up a thing of like, oh, this ad or this commercial or this news story is totally AI generated and nothing's, like, there was no submersible.
Fair enough. So I'm bringing this up because there was the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado happened, and this was a big topic there. And it basically is talking about how artificial intelligence and generative bots like ChatGPT are basically, as of right now, poised to upend modern American politics. And it's kind of the new, the 2.0 version of what happened when social media reset the playbook in 2008. And of course, for the, you know, the doomers out there, this is a huge red flag as far as what does this mean for democracy. And it's like the idea that the campaigns that could happen, like could come out, are going to be full of false information for anyone that can even generate it is, and like every side, every grassroots, every politician is going to have access to be able to use generative AI to do harm to their opponents, because there is now going to be, stick with me, new open source technology. One's been released by Meta, and it's known as, this feels like the conversation where we were talking, this is a couple weeks ago, we were talking about weird names.
Yeah.
It's LLAMA, but it's capital L, capital L, lowercase a, capital M, A. So, llama?
I want a llama.
I always, from my Spanish, the little Spanish I took in high school, a double L, I think, is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yana.
So, is it llama? Yeah. I don't know, but there is a new...
Me and my llama. Me and my llama.
There's a new... But it makes it possible for anyone in their basement to create far-reaching and fake influence campaigns.
That doesn't sound good.
I know. And so these different people at this this Ideas Fest in Aspen, Ron Klain, who is a former chief of staff to President Biden, said that campaigns are going to need to shift their approach to counter AI. He pointed to how Ron DeSantis and the RNC have already used fake images to attack Biden so far. And so like what they think they know they need to do is just like get Biden out there and like connecting with people directly. But I'm trying to think for you personally, you at home listening, like, how do you navigate this? Like, what do you even do today? And we've kind of talked about this before, as far as like, what news do you trust? But this takes it to an even greater level of how do you manage to try to navigate the news cycle and understand what's real and what's not and what's true and what's not. Do you just have like your sources that you trust, or like what are the checkpoints that you've already put in place to like be able to verify? Because like I don't even know for myself. Like I have the things that I check, and I, you know, this is kind of the balance I feel like sometimes with like the criticisms of mainstream media is that they're owned by bigger companies and they have an agenda and blah, 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 and private equity and yada, yada, yada. But also, like, they also have to go through, like, rigorous fact-checking. Like, the New York Times, as we I know when Dan Schaefer, who is going to be joining the show at 10:30 today from the recombobulation area, when he had his piece published in the New York Times last fall, he was talking about, like, the editing process was intense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With the New York Times. So, like, some of these publications that, like, their reputation, this is, they live and die by their reputation, you can trust that there is also, like, a fact-checking process versus just things that get released by anybody who has access to a social media platform. And so I'm really interested in hearing from you on – if you feel prepared for this next election cycle and what kind of information, misinformation, and disinformation is going to be thrown at you. 844-967-2789. We got Tony Zimmerman saying a lot of things on our Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to watch. Watch us, in addition to listen to us, on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin. Tony Zimmerman saying, very surprised Trump didn't claim the new audio about top secret documents wasn't fake and generated by some AI.
Well, now he's going to. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, way to give him some tips. But that's actually a good point, because now it becomes the both sides of, you can create something out of nothing, but also real something that actually happened. You could, like, well, that's actually fake. Like, who's going to be the arbiter of, like, what is real and what is not?
I mean, that's the thing. No, I mean, no one can be, because Dolly Parton, let's go back to her. Because honestly, like, it's the thing is, if I say it, someone's going to say, well, you're a liberal snowflake. Of course you're going to say that's fake. Or if it's someone on the right, we're not going to trust them. So who is trusted enough to do that?
I know.
Walter Cronkite's dead. We can't trust him. He's dead. And most people don't know who I'm talking about right there.
No, I bet most of the listeners who are listening to the show live right now definitely know who Walter Cronkite is.
I'm talking to our Zoomers right now who are listening.
I don't know how many Zoomers listen to this show. I gotta be totally honest. I like, whenever I look at what I can tell on social media from demographics who follow As Goes Wisconsin, it's like mostly millennial, Gen X.
Yeah.
Some boomer. I've yet to reach the Gen Z, unless they're super into politics, I've realized.
Yeah, totally.
But we would love to hear from you. I got a couple more things from Joe and Tony that I want to read, but would love to hear from you of how are you planning to deal with the upcoming onslaught of AI? And does some of it just want to make you just tap out entirely? I'd be like, I'm going to trust my gut instinct. I'm just going to keep getting news where I get news from and not worry about the noise. But it's coming, whether we like it or not. And big tech is only dialing back its misinformation policy. Like, this is YouTube, Twitter, like across the board, things that were put in place around COVID and election denial and stuff. A lot of those policies are getting rolled back. And so what are you going to do? Because you can't just wait for Congress to do something. We can't just wait for big tech to necessarily regulate itself. But I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And we'll end on this before we go to a break. Joe McClear says on the Facebook live stream, I just asked ChatGPT, how should I deal with AI in the 2024 election? It said, don't worry, we'll take good care of you, future human battery.
Ooh, the Matrix.
All right, we got to take a break, but we would love to hear from you on this topic. 844-967-2789. How are you going to deal with AI during this next election? 844-96-PARTY. We will be right back.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. turn on and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few showers and storms around the area before they come to an end here in the overnight. Partly cloudy skies and by daybreak, 55 degrees and a north breeze. On Tuesday, sunny skies and 77, light north winds. Tuesday night, another chance of showers across the area. It's 66 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Deadly and destructive storms in parts of the Northeast. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
We're going to stay together and united, and we're going to rebuild. And we're going to make sure our kids have a great school to go to this fall. We're going to make sure our homeowners get taken care of. And we're going to make sure that this community gets back up on its feet.
A murder suspect is still on the run in Warren County, Pennsylvania. Michael Burham escaped from jail late Thursday night. Police Lieutenant Commander George Bivens.
Burham is to be considered armed and dangerous. And we ask the public, please do not approach him. Call 911.
Larry Nassar, the sports doctor serving time for abusing female gymnasts, was stabbed in jail. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
We are hearing from Sarah Klein, one of his first victims and who is now an attorney representing other abuse victims. She says, quote, this brings no peace to me personally or to any of the survivors that I have spoken with.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well.
Oh, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few showers and storms around the area before they come to an end here in the overnight. Partly cloudy skies and by daybreak, 55 degrees and a north breeze. On Tuesday, sunny skies and 77, light north winds. Tuesday night, another chance of showers across the area. It's 66 at our studios.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. I am privileged and honored to have Jonathan Brostoff as our guest tonight, former state assembly person who brings that Madison expertise to the discussion. Currently, he is an alderman with the 3rd District in Milwaukee, sits on the Common Council. And we've been talking about the deal on the budget that was cut. So, Jonathan, what is the deal that finally got signed in place coming out of the governor's proposal and a middle class tax break and then the right-wing king boss bill on giving the money to the rich? What actually ended up getting signed and where are we at?
Well, they did move forward with a bill. There was a lot of the tax cuts. That was the kind of the, there was a couple aspects of the veto pen that were pretty prominent in this one, but the major one I would say was removing the giveaways to the wealthiest, you know, around us, and they also he was able to use his veto pen. Wisconsin has this kind of like, it's known as the Vanna White or Frankenstein veto, so he was able to change some numbers around, and instead of having a just a couple year, you know, short increase for the revenue for public school children of about $323 or so, he basically made it indefinite with a 400 year increase. So he was able to manipulate Vanna White the numbers and put, you know, the extra zero in that was probably the most reported aspect of it because it was so novel, it's completely legal. That's just how the Wisconsin budget works. But I would say the biggest part was probably the veto of the giveaways to the millionaires and billionaires that he did. And there was, you know, a lot of compromises. And at any time you have shared government, there's going to be a lot of compromise. You know, there was some money for PFAS cleanup, and, you know, there was some money for local governments and, you know, all the kind of normal stuff that's historically been kind of like good governance in Wisconsin. But I would say the biggest fight was over the tax breaks and the budget. And then right before that was the other aspect to it, which was shared revenue deal that Milwaukee was a huge part of and was uniquely treated, but was actually, you know, for the whole state. That's another topic we can touch on, but might be one of a lot of interest given that we're voting on it tomorrow here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the whole shared revenue concept, because you talked about a little earlier that it was part of this divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, we had Governor Walker and then the Republicans for years and years and years. The shared revenue proposal was bad for all municipalities all over the state.
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part, there were a handful that benefited significantly, but almost exclusively, yes, it was a bad deal, including for some of the rural areas as well.
Right. And so, I mean, that, and then this time around, all of a sudden they said, we're going to have some money in the future go towards shared revenue. And so there's municipalities that were starved for money and they wanted it. Right. And so,
yep.
Setting aside from Milwaukee, the municipalities, some got up, 15%?
It started at 15%, and then there was kind of a late minute change in the negotiations where it got up to 20%, which did a couple things because it puts more pressure on Evers to sign it, because you have all these municipalities around the state, including areas like Appleton, Green Bay, Oconto, Eau Claire, Ashwaubenon, Richland Center, et cetera, that were in dire need of more shared revenue. And, you know, we've seen this play out in all sorts of referendum across the state, trying to do simple things like even, you know, for the schools, funding basic school services or, you know, capital improvements, but also for a lot of their important municipal functions. So you had a lot of areas that really needed that money. When they sweetened the pot to 20%, I mean, that was for some of these areas, or at least 20%, for some of these areas, that was just an unthinkable lifeline. So it means if you're Evers, you're even.
They offered Milwaukee 20% too, right?
That would have been great. Milwaukee, unfortunately, only got a 10%. So they again pitted us against the rest of the state by carving out an exception where the 10% is not. It's a significant deal for Milwaukee. Partially also because it has a mechanism where it can grow as long as we grow, which did not exist before. And then obviously with inflation and every, you know, price of stuff going on as it does naturally, and even more so in the last year or so, that really has hit us hard. So we got a better deal as well, but in comparison to everywhere else, statistically, it was nowhere near what they got. Yeah.
I throw that out because I'm on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mm. And when we've dispersed money, for example, federal grant money, we've put that out as in terms of grants pro rata. Mm. So it's per person, not per city. Right? Yeah. So everybody, we've tried to share those funds equally.
Which is how it should be. It makes a ton of sense.
Right. It sort of sounds that way, right?
Yes.
So they didn't do it. And so they created this divide and conquer kind of thing. So they put all this pressure on the municipalities outside of Milwaukee to lean on Tony Evers to sign it. And in place, so they set up Milwaukee.
Yep.
And so Milwaukee had to live with these bad policy decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. They kind of stacked the deck where normally Evers would veto the hell out of, you know, all of these. But they, again, the concept of the poison pill, which the Republicans become so expert, they know that there are people in Wisconsin who still want to govern, who believe in people getting their needs met and services being fulfilled and, you know, water being treated in municipalities or having your roads paved or whatever. And they leverage that and they use that against those who want to govern by, you know, basically being willing to threaten that unless you take all these extra, you know, crap that they want to enact. And it was even more so because, again, this wasn't just a Milwaukee deal, although Milwaukee was kind of the center of it, as it often is. This had to deal with everyone getting theirs. And if the governor did veto it, which I'm not, you know, might have been the right call, might not have been the right call, but it means that all these other localities and municipalities would have not necessarily been able to get their 20% increase, which again, especially in some of these areas that we're so starved out, really do need it. I kind of come at it with a Milwaukee view because I'm an older person here, but during my time at the state, I served on plenty of committees where we heard from areas where the local volunteer fire department couldn't even get enough vehicles or couldn't even get, you know, these are like volunteer firefighters from the community and they couldn't even get the most basic stuff because they're just getting so choked out. And ironically, these are actually heavily Republican areas, like, for example, in Travis Trandall's district in southwestern Wisconsin. So anyway, it was a leverage, it was a negotiating tactic to pit Milwaukee against the rest of the state and to basically kind of play chicken with Evers along the way. That being said, we are now coming up on the, tonight is the eve of the vote of the final piece of that, which is the sales tax. In other words, we've got all the negative policy that I mentioned earlier and that we discussed, but we don't have any of the money yet. And it's possible we could get all the money, all the policy, none of the money, which would be the worst case scenario. But at this point, they gave it up to the Common Council by 2/3 vote to decide if we're going to take home that about $200 million in revenue or not, which, you know, would be huge. And I'll just mention that, you know, you, as we were talking offline a little bit, you said that there was a portion of it that had to go to hiring new police, which is true. That, you know, we have to get up to 1725. I believe in the current numbers, 1630. So the difference. So
that's 1,725 up from 1,600 and what?
30. Yep. So the difference basically breaks down to about $12 million of additional cost to the city and staff, which is huge. That's a lot. You know, $12 million is huge. That's half our library's budget, for example. But out of the about, I say 200 because it's a round number, but around 194 million. So that takes us down to about 182 million, which is pretty much, you know, where we, that's pretty much the budget's shortfall this year. So it's a huge lifeline, but tomorrow's the vote. Tuesday, the 11th, and I am, you know, can't make a prediction right now as to where we're at, but I'm hopeful we'll get it done.
So let's just talk a little bit about
talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few showers and storms around the area before they come to an end here in the overnight. Partly cloudy skies and by daybreak, 55 degrees and a north breeze. On Tuesday, sunny skies and 77, light north winds. Tuesday night, another chance of showers across the area. It's 66 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Civic Media Time, folks. And I am honored and privileged to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff.
Thank you.
Former State Assembly, now with the Common Council. And we've been talking about the whole budget process, shared revenue process, and how Milwaukee was played off against the rest of the state and really, really basic unfair ways. But tomorrow, it's going to play out in the halls of the Common Council. So, Jonathan, how, give us the inside scoop. What's going to be happening tomorrow, and how do you see the various positions? And you don't have to name people, but what are the arguments, and what do you think is going to be at the core of getting to what? You got to get to 10, right?
Yep, we got to get to 10. The part of the provision when it passed was for not a simple majority, but a two-thirds. So in the Common Council, 15 members means 10. I mean, this is the most important vote we're going to take probably in our lifetime here in Milwaukee. Being able to either A, bring in $200 million of additional revenue with the shared revenue component that can grow, or losing $200 million of services through cuts if we don't get it, is as big of a decision as we'd ever have. And I think it's no exaggeration to say this is a choice between losing the city and saving it. And I plan to save it. That'll be my vote tomorrow. It's going to be on a sales tax, which is regressive by nature in the sense that it does not take income into account, and therefore people who make more money will have a lesser percentage of their overall money affected. People who make less money will have a larger percentage. But it also, as opposed to property taxes, which often through rent do get passed down to everyone here, is not solely from Milwaukee. The estimates are about 35% of the property taxes would be from outside of Milwaukee. So you get people now coming in for Summerfest or going to see a live show or a basketball game or Brewers or whatever. So about 35% of that or so is estimated to be from people outside of Milwaukee. On top of that, it does have exceptions of what can be taxed, such as food from the grocery store, medicine, gas, etc. And on top of that, if you look at a district like mine, I represent one of the wealthier one of the wealthiest districts in the whole city. And my district, the third district, probably would pay, just throwing a rough estimate out there, maybe let's say 15% of the burden of this $200 million sales tax, and probably would get about 3% of the services, because relatively speaking to the rest of the city, my district doesn't use a ton of services. Whereas there are districts out there who are much worse off socioeconomically who are going to have that inverse, are going to pay about 3% into it, but get about 15% of the service benefits, which is how it should be. I think that's totally fine. But I think for a lot of those districts is actually a much better deal, because that's the deal that we make as a society. We all pay in together and we get stuff for cheaper, as opposed to if we all individually had to pay for the service of garbage collection or get debris removal or any other municipal function. And so I think it's vital, especially when we're talking about what it would do to the fire department, and even at this, Mark, imagine this. Let's say we don't get the money. Let's say this doesn't work tomorrow. We don't get the 10 votes. So we have to make make a $200 million cut because we just don't have the support for it. So if we get rid of every single one of our libraries, completely cut out all the Milwaukee libraries, that's only about 10%. That's only a little more than $20 million. We still have a huge amount to make up. And that's if we got rid of all the libraries completely. It's the unimaginable catastrophe that the city would suffer is not one I even want to think about, but that's what we're facing tomorrow. And I'll say this too, the other side of it is my district, again, is one of the wealthier ones. And I predict that if, God forbid, that did happen, it would be likely that there would be people who could afford to that would simply move to more functional municipalities that could get the garbage collected on time, could have a proper neighborhood services department or public works or whatever. And there would be this continuous death spiral. And I think it'd be worse than Detroit. And I think it would happen a lot quicker. And that's what we're facing. And that's why I'll be thrilled to cast my vote in support of saving our city tomorrow, in support of bringing home the $200 million in tax revenue for the city.
It seems to me, you know, because, you know, full disclosure, folks, I do live in Jonathan's district. And, you know, people always leave the city. There's always folks that are, you know, afraid of diversity, don't like, you know, a diverse community. So I don't know if that's the overwhelming concern. The question I have, we have communities that have been devastated for years with no money. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
We had a train station that was supposed to be built in 53206, right?
Yep.
Walker didn't do it. So all those jobs in that future are gone. What do you say to aldermen in terms of what can you give them in terms of a promise to say, I'm going to take the money now, but let's go do something together?
Well, one example is the Biden bucks, the ARPA dollars. Now, every state across the country had municipalities that benefited from this, including Milwaukee. And the ARPA dollars we got were supposed to be for transformational, often infrastructure improvements and capital improvements that were supposed to be generationally transformative. Unfortunately, because of the gap that we've been suffering, a lot of that money's been used just to plug holes to keep basic municipal functions going. But if we can take home this revenue, and if we can do it immediately and get the ball rolling, we can, instead of using that money to plug holes, use it for these other transformational projects. And if we look at it, a lot of that money that we had that wasn't used to plug the hole already went to some of the hardest hit districts. We can keep doing that, but we have to bring the money home.
Well, we're all going to be watching tomorrow to see what happens, how it plays out, whether this Common Council can put it together.
One small correction. My wife is telling me it was Laos, not Cambodia. I misspoke, so I want to correct that record. Sorry about that. My bad. It's been a long day.
You heard it live. Watch the outcome tomorrow. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Keep Wisconsin moving forward, folks. Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If he's smart, he gon' act like a fan. Thinking you bigger, they got your head gas. Be slow, so I get him a pass. Catch it.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.